podcast is PG, may contain sketchy advice, embarrassing anecdotes, and may not be suitable for parents who think they have their shit together. This is PG with Roxanne Wilder and Mark Jason.
Mark, we just learned a new term, wedding brain.
Wedding brain. This is great. Now, I've heard of pregnancy brain because, and by the way, so somebody was sitting in the studio before he came in. You were having a conversation. What's her name?
Autumn.
Autumn.
Autumn is one of our wonderful sales executives.
Yeah, I don't know if she wants us to say her name, but anyway, Autumn, we said her name. She's having wedding brain. I said, by the way, what is wedding brain?
Mm-hmm.
This is another example of a guy being in a situation I shouldn't have asked. And she's like, no, you don't understand. She's like, my life has been talking about ribbons lately.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going, oh boy, I regret asking this.
Kind of on cloud nine, too, because you're fantasizing about your big day and how pretty you're going to look up there when everyone's staring at you.
Although she made a great point. She's like, hey, I'm just calling to order ribbons 2 hours later. She's like, I'm totally stressed out about what ribbons to get.
Yeah.
But then she's like, but at the end of the day, it's all about the honeymoon. I'm like, yeah, exactly. That's what I would focus on.
Yeah.
My wife and I didn't have, we did the courthouse thing.
Oh, did you? Oh, you told me that.
Yeah, because she was already pregnant with our second.
Uh-huh.
So I was like, let's just get this done. And then we'll do a big wedding down the road. But then my wife kept getting pregnant every 5 minutes. So we never had time to do it.
Right.
Now our excuse is, oh my gosh, a wedding with five kids. How would we ever even do that? So.
Oh my gosh.
We didn't even do a honeymoon. We didn't do anything.
So you still haven't done a honeymoon?
No.
You are deserving of a honeymoon.
Yeah, but how are we doing with five kids? How are you going to do that? I know the Powerball and Mega Millions are getting up there, but other than that, how are you going to do that?
You have to have them farmed out to five of their friends.
Farmed out. I like that. Children, this weekend you will be farmed out.
So speaking of that wedding brain, I do have to ask you, did your wife go through baby brain? Because that is a real, real thing.
Well, she went.
I experienced it.
Yeah. Well, good, because I got a question for you here in a second. Like, she went through it. But I don't know if she went through it as much as she thought. No, but like she would say, oh, I'm sorry, I'm having baby brain.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, okay. But then it would be something so ridiculous and she'd be like, I'm having baby brain. I'm like, you're just saying that.
Right.
Like now it's an excuse. Like, you know, so did you really feel like you're having baby brain or was it truly?
Well, when I look back at photos and things I did in that first 6 months, I can barely remember a lot of it. So you're in a blur. So there's that phase of it. And then I think a lot of the hormones while you're pregnant make you a little forgetful, but you're also getting ready to take care of a human being. So your mind is a little scattered.
Mm-hmm.
And then the whole, after I stopped breastfeeding, I felt like I got a little tick sharper. Did I even say that right? I don't know. Anyways, maybe I'm still not sharp. Maybe I still have baby
brain. Going on, yeah.
And then I am feeling better by the day, except for the fact that I don't sleep very well. So that contributes to your brain. But it is a real thing, and I definitely felt it. And I do feel like I gradually get better. It's been a year and a half, but I think it's a real thing.
What do dads get when, like, what do we get?
You get dad bod.
All right, mom,
baby, mom brain.
So you get baby brain, but then the guys get dad bod.
Which we've talked about. You can check out our previous podcast.
Yeah. I'd rather have baby brain than a dad bod. I guess I'm working on a dad bod, but I don't want a baby brain, I guess. I don't know what I want. So it is real.
It's
cloudy.
It's real, and I think part of it is hormonal. So I think there's an actual chemical component, and I think the other component of it is you have a child to take care of, and you're always...
The phone's ringing
from
again.
The 1970s.
We got our own hotline. The podcast, it's crazy. This isn't even live. We're recording it and people know. They know to call. It's like when they announce a new pope and all that white smoke goes in the air. That's what's going on.
I'm just pressing buttons.
Here's what we're going to do. We're going to give away that phone to caller nine. If you're the ninth caller now, we're just going to give you that phone. We're going to mail it to you. Actually, we're going to Pony Express it to you because that's the only way. When that phone was made, there was Pony Express. They'd throw it on a horse.
We're going to send a pigeon first and let you know it's coming.
We'll pigeon it over to you. Pigeon Express. Who calls it, by the way? Like, who are these people? Like, are they for you?
Do they know what kind of phone is ringing on the other end? I don't think they'd call me if they knew what it sounded like.
Is it like a personal line with friends or is it actual work people? Is it work people?
It is usually work people.
What do they want? Like, I'm just curious. Like, what are they calling to say? Like, hey, Roxanne. Like, all right, forget it. The next time it rings, we're putting it on the podcast. Hi, you're on the podcast. I'm almost like you guys are. I'm looking around to see is that Pat George calling? No, he's He's looking at something.
He does do that sometimes.
Does he? Oh, he calls.
Sometimes if I
he
have
will
people.
Walk right across the hall. He calls you?
No, no, no. He Goodness does it gracious. To save me. Oh, if I have people who are staying too long, he'll call me. Ah, you're needed down the hall.
Oh, that's pretty good. He's like your wingman. He's yeah. got your back.
Pat, we're good. We're doing a show. Yeah. We're good. We're fine. No need to call me. So I don't know who that could possibly be, but PR people call me. That's
I guess. I was just curious. I was like, man, you get a lot of calls, and you're like, who is it? Like, who are you? Hello,
what
Roxanne
do you do here?
Studio.
Roxanne, what do you do here?
Yeah,
I don't know.
All these people calling you. It's like,
it's my side hustle.
Yeah, you got some business you're growing here. Some using the Beasley phone account.
I barely have enough of a brain, a mom brain, to get us back on track.
With podcast brain.
Before we had the call, the other component is you're trying to keep your child alive.
Yeah.
So that takes up such a huge part of your brain.
I get it.
That it kind of other things aren't as important. So the details slip through the cracks.
I get it. It's like when my favorite football team is 2 minutes left in the fourth quarter and people ask me questions. And I look at people like, are you kidding? Like,
right?
You think I can? Right now, my brain is trying to win a football game.
Do you like football parties?
Oh, yeah.
Do you like them, though? Or because when I was, I'm not as into football as I used to be, but I used to be hardcore.
What
into
how do
football.
You get out of that?
Well, you follow the Bucks for a couple years.
Oh, yeah.
No.
That's a tough
no,
one.
I love the Bucks. I love the Bucks. But no, I when I stopped covering sports, then I'd been doing it for work and getting paid to do it.
It's different
so
when
then
it's
it
work.
Kind of changed my attitude. Then it's like, oh, it's a hobby now. But I'm getting back into it because my daughter loves football.
Oh, so cool. I used to think, I remember going back in college, there was nothing cooler than the college girls that loved football. Like, we would go in college and sit at the bar.
They're cool girls.
We'd sit at the bar, and I'm like, well, I wasn't old enough for most of the time, but we'd still go sit at the bar. And yeah, they were the coolest girls. I was like, wow. And I used to say, you know what? Your mom and dad are the best. And they're like, why? I'm like, they taught you football.
No, you know who those girls are.
What?
They're daddy's girls.
Yeah. No, no. But I'm just saying, like, I think, like, there is something to be said. Like, my girls know everything about football.
Mm-hmm.
They dress up in the
so
costumes.
Cute.
We have football costumes on Sundays. That's so cheesy, but I love it.
I love it.
Yeah, and they're into it.
So they wear whatever team
jerseys.
They like?
Or, yeah, oh we're Redskins gosh. Fans, so they wear all the Redskins jerseys, aww. The helmets. They know the players. They're like the cheerleaders. They run up and down, get all crazy during the game and everything. It's tough. I have to watch my language, which is tough.
Do the Raiders ever play the
Redskins
this year? Redskins. Right, but do the Raiders play them? Gruden?
No. I don't think so. I'm
not
pretty sure
year.
They don't.
They
yeah.
wouldn't often.
That would be.
Right.
Look at you. See, I thought you screwed up, and this is shame on me. I thought you thought I said.
Because I'm a girl, what would I know?
I did. I judged you. And then you were like, excuse me, I'm talking about the Gruden connection. And I'm like, damn, you knew it. And that's awesome. Yeah. It's funny. This maybe is a future topic or a topic right now, whatever. But how like your football or college football parties change when you have kids.
Oh, of
I have
course.
To go outside sometimes to vent.
Oh, because you can't cuss and have meltdowns in front of the TV.
When we had Tyler our first and he was a baby, I would cuss. Isn't that terrible? But I did.
This is a good topic. We're just getting to the point where we're like, yeah, we need to sharpen up our language. We need to stop with that.
Yeah.
Right. One and a half, right? Definitely. She repeats what we say.
Yeah. I think with him, it was when he started walking, I stopped cussing.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That was my thing, you know, so I don't know if there's any medical science behind that. I don't know where I came to that conclusion, but that's what I did. But, and he doesn't use bad words or anything like that. I'm actually a really strict parent, so I would never let him do it. Yeah. I'm really tough on him. But my Saturdays or my football experiences are totally different. But I do think having daughters, like the best thing you can do is teach them about football because it's such a pop culture thing now that.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. And it's just fun.
It's fun.
It's just fun. I mean, I remember even in high school, we would have some like our high school girlfriends come over and watch football with us. And I was like, this is so cool, you know?
Right. It's fun too because, I mean, Ellen Jade will totally clap. She knows when they've done good things. She claps and she's like, ball. She follows the ball. That's the coolest
thing.
Is
Doug a Bucks fan?
No, he's a Bears fan.
Ooh, they're having a great year.
They are.
So what does he do? Does he raise her as a Bears fan?
I mean, I let her watch the Bucks the other day because the Bears weren't on, and so
how bad does that sound? I let her watch the Bucks.
We're trying
to shield her from losing, but I did let her watch the Bucks.
We wanted to have more of a winning mentality. We wanted to have more of an ego, less humility. Yes. So, in any case, we watched the Bucks game. I say let her because it has to do with the TV.
No, I know, let her watch TV.
But you're
going to have to make a decision at some point, Bucks or Bears.
Mm-hmm.
He'll probably win that battle.
Oh. we're going to come to terms, college teams.
Ooh, little negotiation?
So, yes, because we'll actually, well, she'll just have to root for the Bulls, the USF Bulls. That's where I graduated. And graduated from, and then Doug, his team is University of Michigan, and we actually went there. He went did some continuing education, and so we took our that was her first plane ride was to University of Ann Arbor and Detroit, and then we got
I think it's a good trade.
So we'll follow we'll root for the go blue,
yeah,
and then we'll see the fallout with the professional teams. I won't have to, you know, he'll let me have her love the Bucks.
What about the Rays?
Oh, totally. Yeah, she'll totally be
so
Rays.
So you guys will agree on that. Okay.
She's Rays and
Lightning.
Lightning, yep.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
But you got to negotiate the football. I get it. Yeah, I get it.
Yes. So that's an issue. But she loves watching that. And the reason I asked you like football parties, because I don't really like it when I'm at football parties, when I was really into watching sports and people talk to me.
Wow, you were hardcore.
I was hardcore.
If I'm listening, I think I'm with you. If I'm watching my game, I need some space or just cheer for my team. Mm-hmm. I'm very selfish when it comes to watching football. Like my team,
mm-hmm.
I'm very social with all the other teams. Like I'll root for other people's teams unless it's the Cowboys.
Unless it's a conflict or the Cowboys,
yeah.
Right.
So I have two favorite teams, the Redskins and whoever's playing Dallas.
Of course.
That's my weekend thing. It is interesting with kids. What I do find now is the football parties I go to are usually there are other kids there because I take my kids, right? And sometimes it gets a little like I get anxiety. Because the kids are like throwing stuff, or they're loud, or they're asking me questions, or like, and I'm just like, all right, I'm taking this 3 hours of my week is very serious. Now this is, you know, I've bet a lot of money on this game, and I'm just kidding.
I'm just kidding.
No, I don't do that.
You.
I don't do that anymore.
Okay.
But I did live in Vegas for a year.
Yeah,
but I don't do that anymore.
Those dots.
Yeah, but I do take it serious, and so. As a dad, well, I shouldn't say as a dad, as a parent, if you really love sports, but you start incorporating your kids in sports, you are giving some stuff up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there is some emotional, like, I remember back in the day, like, I would throw things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, me and my buddies would throw things, we would yell obscenities, because this is what you do. You love your team. For some reason, I used to think that I could help my team win the game based on the emotion I showed looking at the TV.
Mm-hmm. I used to think that same thing.
It never worked.
Mm-hmm.
Ever. I haven't won one game for the Redskins. I believe I had the power, but I never actually did it.
Did you do this growing up? I would have, well, with the Bucks, we were always losing. So maybe I did this mid-season, but I would have charts of everything that needed to happen, how many wins needed to happen for them to have a chance at the playoffs.
My God, you're impressive.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, unbelievable.
Yes, this is just part of my past. Because I don't do this anymore at all. I don't care.
Is it because you covered sports on TV? You got this because it was a job, so it was work.
Do you
associate it now with work and not fun?
I think there's a little bit of that. And I think that when I was before, I have to go back to the me before I got into sports. And I wanted to be this conduit between.
Conduit?
Yes, between the game and the players and the coaches and all the interesting stories. Like I used to love real sports with Brian Gumbel, and I wanted to be the
stories
liaison.
Behind the game, right?
Yes,
yeah.
The liaison between what was going on down there and the fans, knowing that I love, as a fan, you just want to get that much one step closer and
right.
See what it's all about. So that's why I got into it, and it was very fulfilling and so much fun, and I loved it.
But
and
you
I
wouldn't
think
go
just,
back.
No, definitely wouldn't go back. I have another girlfriend. I'm not going to say who she is, but she works in the market. And she's like, oh my gosh, I have the exact same thoughts about it. People are always like, don't you miss covering sports? It must have been so much fun. It's the last thing that she would want to do or I would want to do.
God, you are breaking male sports fans' hearts all over the place because I feel like every guy feels like, what a dream job.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But then you're right. Like anything else, it's the behind the scenes and it's all the other stuff.
You know what I always thought was weird too is, so as a fan, I don't notice this, but as someone who was covering the teams for a long time, I was younger than or the same age as most of the people I was covering. And then at some point, all of a sudden, I said, oh, my gosh, I'm way older than all these people. And it just felt weird.
These are 20-year-old kids sometimes.
Right. They became kids. It was like I was covering high school football. That's what it felt like, which was a lot of fun, too. I love covering high school football. So it's just kind of a progression that takes place. And then so if you feel like this is what I felt like, if as a person you're evolving but you're still going and interacting with the same, this age group that doesn't get any older. I guess teachers could say the same thing because they teach kids, they teach fifth graders, and then the fifth graders never get any older.
Well, but it's different because
they're teaching them as their fifth graders, and I'm interacting with these people as we're peers in a way.
You're asking questions of multimillionaire 20-year-olds, mm-hmm. and they are trying to nurture
right. It's a culture. It's a different dynamic.
Yeah, maybe that's the difference. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's one thing that I observed. It wasn't bad, but it was just, okay, I'm getting older and older. And it made me feel old. How about that? That's no fun.
I was going to ask you.
Yes.
Like, you could now be...
Don't even do those math. Don't do that math. Just pretend you have baby brain. You can't do it. Yeah.
All right, so you could be their mom, and would that be...
I'm Evelyn Jane's mom. She's 1.5.
That's right. So you'd never get back into it. It's probably tough with a baby. It'd be tough with it.
I'm too far gone. It's the same thing. I told you.
I don't think that's true.
How
is it possible you're too far gone?
I don't know.
You're sitting here talking about you're the conduit between the fans and the sports. You're not too far gone. You're right in. You're right where you need to be.
Hey, I knew the Gruden connection. Right?
Unbelievable.
I just pulled that out of my head.
Unbelievable. Jeez. Never give up.
Oh my gosh. I did actually send Doug an article this morning. This is funny. I sent him an article about...
Hold on. I'm going to cut you off. Now, what if you said you want to get back in the sport? Would Doug love it or not? Because he probably knows what you had to go through.
I think he would be supportive no matter what I said I wanted to do.
But there'd be a lot of time away from the baby.
Yeah, so he wouldn't be supportive.
That's what I'm thinking. Yeah.
No. This is a quirky schedule, but we make it work. But the being away from her at night...
And the traveling,
and
right?
The traveling.
It's different. Yeah.
Right. Traveling and then being at games until 11 o'clock at night. It's not that great.
And you already have, I'm sure you have all the tape to show her, when she gets older. You have enough of that. Like interview, right? You could say,
for sure.
You don't need, okay.
For sure. Now, it's on the worldwide internet.
Now, here's one. Mm-hmm. What if she wanted to get into TV sports or the media in general? People ask me a lot. They're like, what if your kids want to get into the media?
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
And I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't ever know what to say.
I mean,
the jokey
answer is like, find a different profession.
Right.
But then, as an adult who's done that, it's kind of fun to be able to pass on your advice and ideas for it. But I wouldn't, what's funny is my dad encouraged me to be an accountant. So I graduated from USF with an accounting degree. But he wanted me to do that. And my mom wanted me to be a professional, like be a doctor, a lawyer, an accountant, blah, blah, blah. And I really wanted to follow my dreams as a sports reporter and as someone in the media. And so I eventually did that, but I'm happy that my parents made me do that or encouraged me to do that. I'm thrilled they did.
Right.
And so with that, under that same, those guidelines, I would encourage her to maybe do something else. And then if she wanted to go into media, okay, fine, go for it. Start your own YouTube channel when you're 10 years old. Because
my kids asked me the other day, a couple of them, they've been doing this, a couple of them, like, what do you want me to be? And I said, it doesn't matter.
That's crazy. Yeah.
I said, it doesn't matter. Don't ever do anything because somebody else has set a standard for you.
Right.
Ever. I said, I will be letting you down if I tried to paint the blueprint for you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so I'll never tell you. If you don't want to go to college, don't.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to go to college and then get a master's degree and then get a PhD, then do it.
Right.
Like it's your DNA. You know what you want. You know what you're great at. There's no way. And I'll tell you, for the parents listening, and it's so unpopular, I say it all the time. When you try to start guiding your child down, it is the worst thing you could do. You are making it so much tougher for them.
Because
you are living through
your dreams that you wanted to come to fruition.
Yeah,
right.
It's just selfish. I mean, when you get to 13, 14, 15, you already know what you like. I'm not saying you know how to get there and do it, but you already know what you like, and it's starting to steer you in that direction. I knew when I was 16 or 17, I was like, I don't want to go to college. I'm not going to school for 4 years to graduate and stand in line for the same job as 8 million other graduates just did, and then be told if I work at this company hard for 20 years, then I'll get like a pension or a 401. No.
No, that's not right.
Now, I'm not saying that that's not for some people, because it is. There are some people that like they're made for school and they do so well at it and they go and do something else. But I would never tell my kids this is my expectation for you.
Right.
Ever.
Right. And I think that's important too in today's day and age. You have to weigh the outcome or the burden that comes with a college education. College education is great, But I know some people who have a special talent, or maybe they're 18 years old and somehow they've started a business already. They're an entrepreneur. So you're missing time and you're accumulating that college debt, unless you have a scholarship or whatever the case may be. Years, 4 years that you could be working at this business you've already started or at this vocation that you've already started. So there's definitely a trade-off. Not that we're not advocating for education. Education is wonderful, but the evaluation of what makes you unique, what makes you get up in the morning, what makes your heart sing, that's always a great debate. Do you follow your passion or do you follow something practical that is going to pay the bills and then do your passion in your free time? You ever hear that debate?
Yeah, but then your free time is never as much as
your
time. Job time.
Right.
So then
you
have negotiated out most of your life to do something you don't like so that when you do get free time to do something you love.
True.
I don't understand. Okay. And that theory to me is so backwards. Mm-hmm. But, and I think education, like we, every time somebody says education and you talk about kids, you think about the cap and gown. Like whenever I hear the word education, I think about a cap and gown. I'm like, that is so ridiculous. I've learned so much more outside of sitting at a desk or wearing a cap and gown or doing homework. I've learned so much more.
Internships.
Right.
They don't do them that often anymore in some places for legalities, but
honestly,
they're the best thing ever.
Getting on YouTube, I've learned more in 10 years getting on YouTube than I ever learned in school. And I know I could hear everybody rolling their eyes right now, but it's true. If I want to go watch a documentary about something and learn something or watch a how-to and I get to watch these people create their content about their craft and their art, I learn way more. And it's usually about stuff. Obviously, it's all about stuff that I'm interested in, you know, whatever it is. The entire Harvard Law Library is online. Okay?
Is it really?
It's online. You can go and get every book online that they have. Now, you therefore could have the same exact knowledge if you wanted to as any Harvard lawyer. But here's what you won't get. You won't get an opportunity to go and take the bar exam.
The application.
You can go take the LSATs and everything, but you'll never go and pass the bar because you didn't go to school and everything. But you technically could have the same knowledge, just play for play, the same knowledge as a Harvard lawyer by studying it online in your spare time. It's pretty incredible. It's like, you know, there's so much there. And so, like, I always try to tell my kids, like, sometimes they'll come home and I'll be like, well, we have this homework and I'm not interested in it. And I'm like, hey, that's good. It's fine that you're not interested in it. We're going to go through the process because you're young, and that's what being young is going through the process.
Developing those critical thinking skills.
Yep. We're going to go through it, and you are going to feel every ounce of what not being into this is, and you're going to love every second of it because it's
there. You go.
Yeah, and that's how you have to approach it. And trust me, I have friends that are like, I have friends that are teachers like, you shouldn't do that. Like, you should tell them that they're going to love this and do this. And I'm like, no. Now we're going to recognize the fact that they don't, but this is where I
That's
buy
interesting.
In, yeah, this is where I buy into kind of fake it till you make it in school. I don't buy into fake it till you make it in the career, like once we get older. Because, like, what value does that bring anybody?
Right.
Fake it till you make it. Okay, but then you faked it. Like, like you're not really
good. Be real until you make it.
Yeah, I mean, unless you're an actor or an actress, then you fake it till you make it. But at the end of the day, like, if I'm doing business with someone and they're just faking it, like, I'm going to lose out on that deal, right? You know? So. But I tell my kids all the time, I don't tell them fake it till you make it, but I do tell them, go through the process and we're going to act as if we are totally into this and we're going to get it done. But you will always remember the feeling you have that you weren't into it so that down the road you won't waste any more time unless you absolutely have to, you know,
that's
if you're in a class. Yeah.
And that's not to say that you shun them from the curiosity of learning. It's just
I want them to learn about things they're interested in.
Right.
Yeah. And like, I want them to push that and go extra on that.
And that's what everybody says about success. You want to localize. You want to find that thing that you're good at and what's really unique at what you bring and really push that one area.
Yep. I'm trying to get them to understand if they get started earlier, then you almost have to get started earlier. Because so many people wait. Like, let's say you hit the quote-unquote real world at 23, right? You got your degree.
And this is a world that favors beauty and youth. Start early.
Right. Well, but even intellectually speaking or entrepreneurially speaking, it's like 23 is too late to get started, I think. I think it is. I think you have to. I'm not saying you have to have your finished product at 23 because I don't know that we ever get our finished product.
But you have to have your feet wet.
You have to recognize your mindset by 23. Like, you have to know who you are. You have to know what you are. And if you walk into the world at 23 being like, I'm going to go look for a job. I've got this degree in business, which is so general and like wide and, you know. It's like, nah, I think by then, like, you already have to kind of know exactly who you are.
So I like that idea. And then I think for me, I didn't know. It's funny. I go back and read journal entries. It's like, oh, yeah, that's me. You know, from when you're 18 or 16.
You still read your journal?
I found some. The
no, that's
day.
Great.
I was cleaning out my closet. I was like, oh, that's totally me. Yeah, there I am. And so you really do know yourself at certain little young
right.
ages that you might not give yourself as much credit for at that time because you're not a grown up. But my life has been a lot about doing one thing and then saying, no, I really always wanted to do this. Let me go try this. But what I explain to people always go, what? Accounting to media? But I think that life is also about taking those experiences that you're having at that moment and building on them,
mm-hmm.
not wasting them, and just continuously, just not being idle. Continuously, it's good to have purpose. If you know it, the sooner the better. But if you are just getting good experiences, developing your skill sets, and continuing to do that, then I think you're on a good path too.
Well, here, I'll ask you a question. Do you regret not being an accountant?
Now, no. Oh, gosh, no.
Right. Well, no. Then you were right.
Right.
Because if you, really, I think, I know that's so cut and dry and everything, mm-hmm. but I think that's it. Like there's a lot of people who you ask, do you regret not doing anything? And they go, more than you ever know.
Right.
You know, I regret, there are people who regret not becoming a lawyer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You can ask ex-athletes, do you regret being an athlete? Yep, I do.
Right.
My body hurts me. I didn't make half the money I thought.
Right.
I got all the attention the 6 months a year I was on the field. Mm-hmm. And then after that, nobody cared.
It's funny. That's so true. So I was an accountant for 4 years.
So you were an accountant.
Right. For 4 years, I was with Arthur Anderson. This is a long
like
time
a
ago,
certified,
obviously.
So you did do it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes, for sure. And so I did that for 4 years. And I actually, Arthur Anderson was one of the big five. Then mm-hmm. I went down to big four after Enron. But when I look at, I remember there was a woman who was, her name's Leanna Odrobinak, and she is super successful in the accounting world. And she was one of the partners, and she was giving a lecture to a lot of the people there, seminar of sorts. And so she said that she just talked about how much passion she had for what she did, for business processing, for auditing. And in my mind, I'm sitting in the audience going, that's wonderful. I don't have that.
I'm not there. Yeah.
I can't compete with her. So she's at the top of what she's doing. I won't get there because I don't have that same sort of passion that she spoke of. And so that's when I really started to, and I was actually auditing TV stations across the country and radio stations in different markets, smaller markets.
Oh, God, you were one of those? I remember when the auditors would come into the radio station.
Weren't you terrified of us?
Oh, I...
Well, you weren't, but the...
No, everybody else was.
Right.
They're like, the auditors are here.
Right.
I was like, it was almost like the plague. Mm-hmm. Like, you know?
Totally. Oh, yeah. We were not. And people would always say, well, you don't look like an auditor. I was, you know, I was 20,
right.
22 years old. And so they told me that often enough. And I was like, well, I don't feel like an auditor. I'm out of here. No, but having said all of that, I loved that experience. That 4 years was amazing. I traveled all over the country. Mm. Accountants are very hardworking people. I developed my work ethic. A lot of auditing is
going
in.
But it wasn't fun, right?
No,
you weren't having any fun.
No,
yeah.
No. The dinners afterwards were fun, but the, you know, dinners and drinks and stuff, that was a great time. But going
in and
actually,
party?
Back
party?
In the day.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you
mm-hmm.
had to, because all
you
day it was like you were just ruining people's lives all day. So you had to go and like blow the gasket, right? And just let it all out. Yeah, you ruin people's lives. I mean, that's what auditors do, don't they? I think they, I don't know. Maybe they don't.
It's a little deeper than that. But
that's not on your resume? Ruined people's lives from
no,
2002 to 2006.
Reviewing financial statements.
Okay,
it's fine.
We'll go
fine.
With that.
Yes. So we...
I'm waiting for the phone to ring.
We heard
him say that. That's not true. It's not true. It's not what they do.
We weren't the bad auditors. People think of auditors, we think of taxes. But in any case, that was a good thing for me to do because I interviewed a lot of people. You go and you interview the CFO. You interview people in different aspects in the building, in the business. And then so I took those interview skills and I apply them to the next layer of my work in media. So I think that's what you have to do is, you know, you find you're really good if you know exactly what you want to do, and then you can just build on experience after experience after experience that supports that.
So you
stair-stepped everything.
Yeah.
If you meander, then you have to just make the best of what you did and pull it all together, and then it gives you a little bit of well-rounded nature, and it gives you, you know, different perspectives than people that maybe took the straight narrow path to get where you are.
Right. I like it.
So,
I like how you building, you stair step it. Like, you're like, I did this, then I stepped up to this, then
right.
I stepped, and I used everything. Like, I never look at things like that. And it's just
because you're a Taurus, you're just like, there's the target.
I've been told that before.
Yes.
Yeah. I've been told because I'm a Taurus, it's like, you know,
there it is.
I'm very here and now. Like, I don't, ever believe what I did yesterday mattered at all.
I like that.
Yeah,
that's important.
I don't know anybody that is, I don't know. I guess sports athletes may be different, you know, but at the same time, it's like it's such a here and now world, you know?
Oh, it is.
Things about, like, when I think about memories and stuff, that I think about my family. But when it comes to career, I'm like, I just yesterday, you know, and even like doing radio shows and stuff, it's like, you know, if today was a great show, I'm great. If today's a bad show, it's my fault. I suck. And that's where I am right now in the world.
Right.
Is that a Taurus thing?
I think Taurus are very here in the now. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And determined.
People make me feel bad for being a Taurus.
No. Always like, I have a little one at home and she wants what she wants and she goes and
gets
it.
Yeah, that's how, you're right. That's how we are. It's not a bad thing, but other people are kind of like, you're a Taurus. I'm like, it doesn't sound good. Like, why are you saying it like that?
No.
You know? At one time, that was the most popular selling car in America. And now I get no credit. You know what I mean? Remember the Ford Taurus?
Yeah.
Now, nobody talks about it anymore.
You know what Tauruses love? I don't know if this is you or not. I have to find this out. I know it's the case with my daughter. Taurus are food focused, food obsessed. And that's what we were going to talk about today. We never got to it. That's okay. We'll save it. We'll push it again.
Hey, who
do you love food?
I love food, but there's no way I'm food obsessed.
Okay. Well,
yeah,
then
no
you,
way.
You bucked that trend, but
I did.
We need to talk about our kids and our eating habits with our kids, how to teach them.
We mix some entrepreneurial stuff in. No, it's good. We had football parties with kids and, you know, hey, part of the whole thing, though, when we talk about this, it really isn't just about kids, but it's about the parents who live the life of taking care of kids.
And so then you look back in time and you evaluate choices that you've made to all of a sudden that you're this family in the here and now.
Well, because even now, like, even we talk about career choices and looking back, I mean, if we were to make other career choices or hobbies or whatever, that would affect our kids.
Sure.
You know?
Oh, right.
But there's so much you can do. I almost get frustrated with people when I'm like, in my head, I'll do this sometimes. I'll be like, this person has so much talent and they're just sitting here making excuses and excuses and excuses. There's so much at the world.
Are you talking about me?
No.
Okay.
No. Maybe sometimes. I don't know. I think about this a lot of people. I get mad at myself too sometimes and I go, what did I do today? I didn't create half of what I needed to.
Right.
Like, you just have to go. And what really frustrates me, you don't do this, but what really frustrates me is when people use their kids as an excuse.
Right.
It really drives me crazy.
Sometimes I do.
I don't. I'm telling you, I'm good. I'll pat myself on the back right now. I don't. I'm like, I am not going to take the people I love the most and blame them for me not having an opportunity at success.
Well, not for that.
But I'm just saying that's how my perspective, but I know people that do that. Mm-hmm. They're like, well, I'd love to do this, but you know, I have kids. I'm like, yeah. And they're like, well, I'm tired. I'm like, okay, cool. Well, I'm tired too. I was actually tired when I didn't have kids. You know, I was like hungover all the time and out partying. So you were tired when you didn't have kids.
I know.
You know? And it's like, well, you know, once 7 o'clock comes and my kids go to bed, you know, I'm like, right. But so 7 o'clock, then you have 8 o'clock, then you have 9 o'clock, then you have 10 o'clock, then you have 11 o'clock, then you have midnight. Like, you can get so much done then to whatever else you want to do.
Right.
Don't use your kids as an excuse. Like, that is so, I've actually been around people before, I'm going off on a tangent here, but I've been around people that have said stuff like this in front of their kids. Well, I wanted to do this, but then these little guys appear and going, are you kidding me? Like, are you kidding me? Like, that is you, that makes you, that's your buffer from not having a chance? Get out of here.
Right.
No.
Your kids, I mean, I think that kids can be more of motivation in that.
I think
you want to be an example for them.
I think they bring you great luck. Mm-hmm. And
I that's
think
so true.
You absolutely should say, you know what? The reason I'm going to do this is because I have kids. Because I got to take this shot.
Right.
You know?
Right. It's true. Well, we are going to have to talk food next time.
Food it is. And you know what? Next week when we talk food, let's eat while we're doing it just to really paint the picture. So let's eat the food while we're talking about eating the food.
And then we'll answer the crazy Pivot Studio phone with our mouths full.
I promise y'all, the next time the phone rings, we're going to answer it live. And we're just going to see who it is and what they are. And they're going to be a spontaneous podcast guest. See you later.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.